Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. In this talk show, we are going to be talking about this book which has been translated by one of our own Islamic seminary students here in the holy city of Qom. The title of the book is The Demonstrations of the Veracious, and it has been translated by Sayyid Shiraz Agha. And so in order to talk a little bit about this book, we have decided to invite him. So let's go ahead and welcome him and start our discussion. Sayyid Shiraz Agha, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me here.
So Sayyid, we have this book here at hand. It's called The Demonstrations of the Veracious for the Existence of God. I'll show the book here, The Demonstrations of the Veracious. MashaAllah, it's a pretty big book. It's quite a bit of content in there. You did translate this book. And, you know, being one of our own Islamic seminary students, I just wanted to give a little bit of an introduction to you as well. So you've been in the Islamic seminary for over 20 years, well over 20 years, mashallah. You have a master's in Islamic philosophy, Falsafa Islami, from the Islamic Seminary of Qom. You also have a doctorate also in Falsafa Islami, Islamic philosophy, again from the Islamic Seminary of Qom. And then you decided to translate this work, the Burhan of the Siddiqeen, although I mixed the English and Farsi a little bit, the Demonstrations of the Veracious. Just talking a little bit about the book, if you could just introduce for us what this book is about. Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Primarily, this book is a collection of arguments for the existence of God. Mm-hmm. So there are approximately 216 arguments that the author, Mr. Hussein Ushaqi Isfahani, he's collected them together.
216 arguments.
216
for the existence of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, some of them are very similar to one another. Mm-hmm. Somebody who looks at the book, he'll take that into account. A lot of them have some minute differences with one another, but if we take those into account, then there are 216 arguments for the existence of God. He's categorized them into four or five categories. Mm-hmm. Based on the premises used in the arguments. All of the arguments, as you know, there are a number of different categories for the demonstrations or arguments for God's existence. Some of them start with God's creation, try to argue from that, trying to affirm God's existence. Mm-hmm. Through that. We call those cosmological arguments. Mm-hmm. These arguments, those have a problem with them, because he's alluded to that in the introduction. But primarily the arguments mentioned here, they don't take into account anything else besides God. Mm-hmm. This is some of the major features of this book.
It's actually quite a, mashallah, it's quite a big book. Crossed my mind was, you know, why did you select this specific book? Or before that, so this is a translation from an original Arabic transcript, or is it a Persian script? I mean, if you can tell us a little bit about the book that it was translated from.
Yes, the book was originally written in Persian. Mm-hmm. By the author. It was printed about 5 or 6 years ago here in Iran. Mm-hmm. And I came across the book I read it, and I that's primarily what pushed me to translate it. Actually, it was something very personal. And that was one of my friends who I grew up with. Mm-hmm. I came to learn that he had became atheist.
Wow, okay. Yeah, and, interesting. Yeah, and yes, he was a Muslim or
he was a Muslim, he was a Shia. Okay. He grew up in a Shia family, he was Sayyid actually. He had a lot of, growing up, he had a lot of
questions
about God's existence. And so when I heard that, I was very remorseful and regretful. I thought that as a seminary student and, you know, as a friend of this person, it was my religious responsibility to make the effort to kind of fill this gap that we might have and maybe perhaps prevent such occurrences from happening again in the future.
MashaAllah, Allah bless you. Really, that's a very honorable and noble intention and a very noble effort. I mean, I keep on saying it's a big book because, you know, when an individual starts to translate, they realize that each page of this book, how weighty it is in terms of spirituality, in terms of effort, in terms of... I've done a little bit of translation work myself, and I know that the more technical the original language has these terms, you know, the terms that are more technical in the original language, it is quite difficult to translate into another language with that precision and accuracy. So, I mean, you know, our hats off to you for really taking this effort. And I think this kind of transitions towards this idea of the translation process. I mean, if you could tell us a little bit what the translation process is like.
The translation process, it begins with actually understanding the book itself, right. Understanding the contents. Yes. Because until you don't understand the contents of the book, it becomes difficult to convey them in another language. You have to have an understanding of the source language you're translating from and then the target language. You know, you need to know laws of grammar and, you know, these kind of things. So it took me approximately 3 months to actually read the book itself.
The original Persian
right. and understand what it was saying. Then the process of translating it took an additional 2-3 months for me to, you know, complete it.
So, wow, mashallah, so you were able to translate the whole book in a matter of 2 to 3 months.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I thought it might have taken you years, you know, it's like, right? So that's impressive, 2 to 3 months. I think maybe we kind of jumped over this, what exactly the book, but the book is now more of a theological, philosophical aspect, or how is that?
So like I mentioned earlier, so because the nature of the arguments in the book contained are primarily, it's focused on, it starts with existence and examining the nature of existence in order to, either the concept of existence or the reality of it, in order to arrive at a conclusion that, you know, there must be, God must exist. So because of that, and we know that... philosophy is a subject that studies existence, ontology. At the same time, we're talking about God, which is a subject of theology as well. So it's a mix of both subjects here going on all at once.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Interesting. Wow. Now, the 2 to 3 months, for example, that took you to translate the book, did you find any places which were difficult? I mean, were there times where you just thought that, I mean, this is just a big, you know, thing that I have embarked upon trying to do, and how did you deal with that if you ran across that kind of a challenge?
So there were some parts in the book that were I found kind of challenging. There's a chapter regarding Saint Anselm's arguments for God, the famous ontological argument for God's existence. So it's a Western, Western arguments, you know, coming from Western philosophy. So I was a little unacquainted with that. Fortunately, I have contact with the author himself. Mm-hmm. So in places where I encountered difficulty, I asked the author himself mm-hmm. to elucidate, you know, the meanings of the text. Mm-hmm. It was which helped me understand the book and translate it.
Well, interesting. So it seems like we can transition over to the author a little bit. So the author is this Ustad Hussein Isfahani. I think there's a picture inside as well of the author. If you could tell us a little bit about him as well.
Yes. So unfortunately, outside of Iran, even within the Hoza, he's not very popular amongst.
He's not well known.
He's not well known, unfortunately. Yeah. But he is a great scholar, a student of both Allama Hassanzadeh and Ali Jawadi.
Allama Hassanzadeh Amuli, yeah, who, the late.
Who passed away recently.
Yeah, who deceased, yeah.
And Ali Jawadi
Amuli. Allah have mercy on us.
So,
I'm sorry. Yes. So, the author is one of the students of the late Allama Hassanzadeh Amuli.
Hassanzadeh Amuli, yes.
Yeah, Jalib.
And,
interesting.
Yeah, so he learned philosophy and Irfan. Primarily from these two great scholars.
So you were saying that the first one was Agha Hassanzadeh Amuli Rahmatullah Alayh, and then the other one was who?
Ayatollah Jawadi.
Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, right? The very famous, commentator of the Quran and the philosopher. And
right. So he primarily studied with these two. Now, right now, he's working. He's teaching and primarily working on composition of texts like the one in hand.
Ustad Isfahani here, this is a summary of different books which had come. So, for example, the Persian that Ustad Isfahani came up with,
right?
That must be a conglomeration or a collection of different arguments found in different books. Uh-huh. Or no, he picked the Arabic book, then he did the Farsi, the Persian, and then you did the English. How did that work?
It's interesting that you asked that. So most of the arguments can... there's a number of arguments in the book which are taken from other texts, right? So the author, he'll quote somebody, and then he'll explain the argument in his own words. Mm-hmm. But a number of arguments contained in the book are actually... his own philosophical inventions, mm-hmm. arguments that came to his mind mm-hmm. for God's existence. We have the chapter at the end of the book where he uses the concept of non-existence, mm-hmm. right? And uses it to argue for God's existence, mm-hmm. right? Which is almost paradoxical. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, but so these are some of his own philosophical mm-hmm. Theories and innovations that he's come up with.
Demonstrations of the Veracious for the Existence of God. Here in this book, for a reader, does the reader have to be, 10, 15 years student in the Islamic seminary, or should he or she be well-versed in the concepts of philosophy and theology and these things? I mean, who's the reader for this book, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Interesting that you asked that. So one of the reasons why I chose to translate this book is that... somebody who wants to benefit from this book doesn't really need a lot of, prior acquaintance with Islamic philosophy or philosophy in general, or even know the technical jargon of philosophy and theology. The concepts he uses are concepts that we use every day, but really we haven't taken them into consideration. Existence, necessity, possibility, these kind of things, non-existence. So these are concepts that are really quite simple. We use them every day. And so he uses these simple concepts to, argue for God's existence. In places where there is technical jargon used, so the author clarifies what it means within the text itself. So if somebody kind of reads it, even if somebody doesn't have an acquaintance with these kind of things, if he knows some basic rules of logic, he can benefit from the book. And the author also, he has an appendix in the end in which he's explained some basic rules of logic for some people who aren't acquainted with it.
Sayyid, one of the things that you had said earlier in the program was this idea that one of the reasons and one of the motivations for you to write the book was so that people who, ask questions about the existence of God, does God exist, and this kind of battle with atheism and these kind of things, right? Your friend, he had given up on the concept of God, and this is the motivation that kind of started, for you to start thinking about, writing a book or translating a book, excuse me. Since you translated this book, Like, what do you find that these kind of books are really good for? I mean, is this like a reference book, you know?
Right.
What are they really good for?
You know that we live in a world today where, you know, a lot of beliefs that we had in the past are, you know, called into question. At every step, you know, that we take. So we find an onslaught of, you know, misgivings, objections to religion, you know, in every aspect of it. And, you know, this primarily also it starts from, you know, the very basic fundamental foundation of religion is the existence of God.
Right.
So these are being called into question, you know, these kind of beliefs. And so in order to combat that, obviously we can't take recourse to religious texts like the Quran, because mm-hmm. these things are, the legitimacy of them comes after the existence of God is right. affirmed, right? Mm-hmm. So we have no other recourse but to take reference to logic, you know, and reasoning. So these books like this or other books, they can help fill that gap. We don't really have a lot of books written from a Muslim point of view regarding God's existence, at least in English. In the past, we do have a lot of texts in Arabic or in Persian regarding it, but unfortunately, we don't have them in English. And a lot of our youth, they have these misgivings, and you know, these books can help fulfill that gap.
Wow, mashallah, Allah bless you. Now, I was seeing this thing about the, I believe it was the Avicenna Institute for research. Let me see, it was right here. And I did take a look at the book, and I really thought it was really beautiful. Here it is. It's the Avicenna Institute for Research and Education. Founded in the year 2020 in the holy city of Qum by seminary students. If you could tell us a little bit about the relationship between, for example, the book and this institute, this research institute,
right.
And educational institute.
Right.
So basically, this book is not the sole project that I'm working on. We're working on, me and some of my friends. This is part of a larger project that we have in mind. Prior to this book, we published another book regarding the same subject, a little more broader.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some other works in the pipeline soon to be published. And so we're primarily working on, works concerned with intellectual sciences. Right now, it's kind of still in the initial stages, so we've just basically translated some books and we're working on publishing them, but we hope to expand further, you know, have some, you know, online classes, maybe short courses, mm-hmm. a journal, mm-hmm. maybe. This is how this book fits into the context of mm-hmm. this institute that, you know, mm-hmm. we're trying to found.
Mm-hmm. So interestingly, so you chose the name Avicenna from
right.
Ibn Sina. Avicenna meaning the Latin Western, he's known as Avicenna over there, right? And so Ibn Sina.
Right.
Now, how come you chose Ibn Sina versus right. Mullah Sadra versus?
Right.
You know, Sabzawadi versus Farabi.
Right.
I know it's kind of a takhassusi, it's like...
And
no comment is also a good, because when it comes to different philosophical schools of thought, of
right.
course, there's right. slight differences. Huh?
Right, so yeah, there's a reason for this. The reason that was in our mind was that we felt that because we were trying to target a lot of people, people who weren't necessarily Muslim even,
yeah.
And we felt that the personality of Ibn Sina was somebody who everybody accepts
right.
Historically, regardless of whether they're Muslim, non-Muslim, Shia, yeah. Sunni, even within different trends, we have, you know, the Sufis accepted him, philosophers accepted him. So we found that he was a kind of a central figure
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, we could kind of base our... Institute
Excellent.
Around his
yeah.
name, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Now, I know because the book is quite weighty as terms of philosophical meaning and spiritual meaning and this kind of awareness of a human being and awakening this inner eye, for lack of a better term, right? Now, and I know it is probably not fair to have you kind of give some sort of, not necessarily summary, but some argument within here that really stood out to you. I mean, it was 216 different arguments. I mean, something that really, you know, hit home for you.
It's interesting that you should ask that. One of the arguments...
it's a heavy question, you know, I'm sorry to do that.
No, no problem.
You're the translator, so
Off the top of my mind, one of the arguments that the author, he alludes to, which is a number of different authors have pinpointed as being a very good argument, is the argument that, the great scholar Allama Tabatabai, the commentator of the Holy Quran, he mentions this argument in the footnotes to the Asfar. Over there in the sixth volume.
And the Asfar is the four volume, Asfar of Mullah Sadr.
Mullah Sadr.
Yes, okay.
In Mullah Sadr. Mm-hmm. So Allama Tabatabai has footnotes to the Asfar. And the sixth volume, which is concerned with theology proper, over there he has a footnote there in which he mentions his own personal argument for God's existence. So the author here, he mentions, he quotes from Allama Tabatabai there, and he kind of explains that argument. So in a nutshell, I know we don't have a lot of time to go into the detail, but that argument basically, it starts with reality, reality in the absolute sense of the term. Allama Tabatabai there, he says that reality is not something that can be denied, right? It's not something that can be negated by anybody. Even the negation of reality leads to its affirmation, because when we negate reality from it, obviously we're saying that this negation is something real and something true. Right. Otherwise, if it's not true, we would have to, by force, accept that it's real. So when we say it's true and real, so we're affirming reality. So we have no recourse but to accept reality in the absolute sense. From this, he draws a conclusion that therefore reality must possess necessity, essential necessity. And this essential necessity of reality proves to us that reality in the absolute sense is the essentially necessary thing, or essentially necessary being, which in philosophical terms we equate with God. So from this, and then he moves further and says that now that we have affirmed that God is the essential reality, how do we tie that in with our reality? And then he goes on to explain, and then he argues and proves God's other attributes, such as his knowledge, his power, and things like that. This is one of the arguments that stood out for me.
MashaAllah, no, thank you. And there's 216 other arguments.
216 other arguments.
Yeah, mashallah. I mean, 216 is a lot, right?
216 is a lot, yes.
I kind of want to move just before the end of the program. I want to move towards this whole discussion of, atheism in the modern day, and, how superficially, at least, it seems like it's growing or it's spreading. What are your thoughts on that? Because a lot of our viewers have kids, or a lot of our viewers are youth, and they might be facing these kind of things. I mean, any kind of points of advice, again, from someone who is a seminary student, Islamic seminary student, over 20 years, and out there, in the world in general, not just the Western world, this is something where youth, they might be questioning, they might be confused, they might not know who to ask as well. I mean, if you have any kind of points of advice that you'd like to put out there.
My only advice to people who are questioning, have questions regarding God's existence or in general in religion, is to approach these subjects in a very careful and cautious manner, right? So obviously this is a very important and pertinent discussion, right? It's very critical and crucial to man's fate, both in this world and in the hereafter. right? So I think that I don't think it's not very reasonable to say that, okay, I've taken, you know, a 2-credit course in philosophy and in atheism, and just by hearing the teacher, you know, some of the arguments that this atheist has presented, let me now just become atheist and throw it all away. And just as you've heard their arguments, right, I think that a person should be a reasonable person, which all atheists believe, you know, that's their whole idea, that, you know, we want to follow reason and we want to be reasonable and rational people. The rational thing is to examine both sides in the debate clearly before coming to any conclusion, right? That's my only advice to people out there who, you know, who are perhaps having such misgivings.
Well, first off, you know, very well said. I think it was a very beautiful pay attention. Be careful. Don't rush into any decisions. You know, don't give up. Keep this search for truth alive and really pay attention. You know, in this world of, so for example, I believe it was the sophists of days gone by. We're talking about, you know, Socrates in Greece and these sophists. So they were able to come up with arguments where they would be able to prove via argument, right, not reality, right, via argument, right, that if right now is day, they would be able to prove that it's night.
Right. Right.
Via just these kind of back and forth argument, jadal, and, you know, and these kind of things.
Right.
So what I'm saying is exactly kind of what you said, is be very careful. Don't fall for some kind of, you know, two-bit argument by somebody that has no real fundamental foundation to it.
Right.
I mean, really take your time, you know? I mean, this book here, for example, Demonstrations of the Veracious, the Siddiqeen for the Existence of God. I mean, this is 216 different arguments for the existence of God.
Right.
Not just, you know, somebody's two-bit defense of atheism, for example.
Right.
You know? I mean, I don't know if you want to comment or add to that.
You said it right. And also, I think a final point on my part is that a lot of times what I've noticed is a lot of, especially our youth, they have some more deep-seated problems with respect to religion. It doesn't really go back to, they might not have a lot of misgivings regarding religion, rationally speaking, or, you know, doubts in the existence of God. A lot of times, you know, it's a more practical, fundamental problem. They don't want to follow religion. You know, they don't. Mm-hmm. It's cumbersome for them. You know, they have these other problems, right? So, you know, listening to some, you know, atheist's two-bit argument regarding God's existence is just a way to justify their, mm-hmm, you know, their spiritual laziness, maybe, or mm-hmm, or their, you know, their love for the dunya. So we need to kind of, I think everybody needs to kind of do self-introspection, kind of separate, you know, these two kind of dimensions from one another. Make sure that, you know, whatever we're following, we're actually following, you know, the voice of reason. Because you know, you're a seminary student yourself, that, you know, that, you know, God Almighty in Al-Kafi, we have the first thing that God created was the intellect.
Yes.
And said that, you know, he ordered it to go forward and come backwards. And he said, you know, by means of you will I reward people, by means of you will I, you know, punish people. It's the hujjat of God within man. So it can't be wrong. It cannot, and it cannot lead, you know, human beings astray and away from God.
Yeah, as I just want to add a little bit, you know, we making sure that intellect is pure, that intellect is complete, you know. Mm-hmm. And when that intellect is pure and that intellect is complete, kamil, we say, right?
Right.
When it has this, then it does lead you to these results. But again, as you said, being very careful of the intrusions of shaitan and the self and the
right,
worldliness and
right,
and these things, because they will try to distract your intellect into believing there are no atheism. And it's interesting you brought up this idea that sometimes, you know, we don't want to pray 5 times a day.
Right.
Or we don't want to wear hijab.
Right.
You know, or I mean, these, I think in my mind, were the two. Well, we don't want to fast.
Right.
You know, because of these things,
right,
we give up on the whole idea of God and afterlife and religion and salvation and
right,
perdition and heaven. And so, wait a minute, listen, as you said, listen, these are two different subjects.
Right.
If you don't want to pray or if you don't want to wear the hijab, or you know, you don't want to eat halal for whatever reason, that's a separate discussion.
Right.
This idea of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
right,
this is a different discussion, you know, don't mix the two.
Right.
Just because you have some, you don't understand something in the religion, you know, you can't just go and deny the existence of God, you know.
Right.
It's interesting, as we were speaking, there's the well-known tradition of the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the atheist came up to him. And I'd really like to get your comment on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the atheist came up to him and, paraphrasing, you know, excuse
right.
me, paraphrasing.
Right.
So, you know, he said that about the existence and non-existence of God, right?
Right.
And so in response, Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he said to him, he said that, listen, if God doesn't exist and we followed our deen, our religion,
right,
you know, we end up being righteous people on this earth.
Right, right.
And if there is God and there is heaven and there is hell and there is a judgment,
right,
Bazham, yet again, we turn out to be righteous in the afterlife.
Right.
He said, but you, if you decide to live, you know, as an evil person, without religion, without rules, without regulations, without
right.
morals, without ethics,
right,
in this world, not only will you be considered evil,
right,
you know, if
right.
there's no God, but if there is a God,
mm-hmm,
then you're in a whole bunch of trouble.
Right, of course.
And he said, we, whether there is God or there isn't God, we are righteous in both situations.
Right.
And you, whether there is God or there isn't God,
right,
are evil in both situations.
Of course.
I don't know if you want to comment on that. It's a very simple, I know, but the more you think about it is, do you really want to take that risk, you know, and Bismillah.
Yeah, you're right, and you know, you mentioned an interesting point. You know, actually there's a verse in the Holy Quran. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ يَقُولُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. It says that people want to be free and they don't want anything to stand in their way of their passions.
Yeah.
So they, in order to do that, and they can't do that with the belief in the Qiyamah, so they just throw it away. Ayana yawm al-Qiyamah, you know. So when will there be a
day of judgment?
Right. So, you know, human beings are interesting. They can't live with this contradiction within themselves. I'll believe in the God and the hereafter and all these things and these religious truths. At the same time, you know, do whatever I want. Right, so in order to, you know, justify, you know, their following of the dunya and the passions, right, so they have no choice but to negate these verities and these truths.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I think before we go towards the end, well, first off, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and coming and talking about these things. Even though I know that in order to go from the existence of God, one way is to start with the discussion of the existence of God and reality and wujud and, you know, wajib al-wujud and these things. But I think that shouldn't dissuade anybody from going to the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, from going to the Holy Quran, right? The Holy Quran also puts forth very simple yet profound proofs for the existence of God,
right,
you know? The Quran itself also is really a miraculous living being.
Mm-hmm.
In some of our talk shows, we've said this, that it is a living being. It's not just a simple book. It is a living being. It has a living existence,
right,
talking about philosophical terms.
Right.
And it has miraculous effects upon the reader.
Right.
Of course, when you read the Arabic and the translation and you ponder and you reflect and all these things, the Quran is a great source for faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, there are many traditions and the biographies of the divinely appointed imams where they debated atheists.
Right.
Right? Imam Ja'far Sadiq, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam, you know, Imam Qadim alayhi salam, Imam Rida alayhi salam, Imam Hadi alayhi salam. All these imams are well known for their debates,
right,
against Christians, Jews, Zoroastrians,
right,
and atheists.
Right.
And that's an interesting reference point as
yes.
well for readers to check out.
Yes, of course. We have a book called Al-Ihtijaj, in which the arguments of the Ayyam alayhi salam have been collected. And this is a good reference book, like you said, to refer to.
Sayyid, I don't know, well, before I let you do a conclusionary statement, for all of our viewers, again, the book is Demonstrations of the Veracious for the Existence of God, translated by our very own Sayyid Shiraz Agha. here in the holy city of Qom. Again, if our viewers want to purchase the book, of course the book is available here in the holy city of Qom, but if for some reason you can't make it to the holy city of Qom, even though you should, if you email us at info@islamicpulse.tv, we will forward your requests to Sayyid, and then he can contact you and he can work out all the logistics and the payment issues and all those things, the mailing and all of the issues that are there, etc. With Sayyid, he can contact you and reply. Again, the email is info@islamicpulse.tv, where you can contact us. Again, we will forward the information to Sayyid, and then inshallah, we encourage all the viewers to go ahead, purchase the book. Again, it is in English. It's not made for, somebody who's studied 10 plus years, even though somebody who has studied 10 plus years can greatly benefit from a book like this. An excellent book to have at home for the kids, for the youth, for the elders, men, women. It doesn't differentiate in that manner. Again, for people who are community leaders, excellent book to buy in bulk, have a few in hand to be able to give to the youth out there, because as we said, this issue of atheism is something that is a clear and present danger, and it's not that atheism is something that is so attractive and is so logical and is so reasonable and it's like some kind of divine enlightenment. No, it's because, and again, I'd like to get your comment on it. The reason people are going towards it is because books like these are not available for the youth. Listen, we have 216 arguments. Your two-credit teacher in philosophy who might have had atheist tendencies, he threw a questioner here and there and he confused, you or me or one of our youth. Well, we have 216 arguments. Here, professor, answer these. So because we are we haven't been able to put forth this kind of literature, we haven't been able to put forth the Islamic side of the coin, that's why people are going towards atheism. Not that atheism inherently has some kind of, a great reasonable logic behind it, if you want to comment on that.
So again, like that part of that is our fault.
Right. Yeah, it's our fault.
It's our fault that, we haven't been able to express our voice. And what makes it even more unfortunate is that we have, like you mentioned, the literature from the A'imma alayhi salam, where they have, alluded to these discussions and guided us, but unfortunately we don't, it's our fault that we haven't been able to express the voice of our A'imma alayhi salam in the Holy Quran. Like you mentioned, Quran alludes to God's existence so many times. But we haven't been doing our duty. Hopefully this book can fill that gap a little bit and not be the last effort in this path and this effort.
Sayyid, thank you so much for joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. I know with all the work that you're doing, all the translations and then the studies as well, and your schedule was quite busy, but you decided to take out time and sit with us, and we appreciate very humbly and sincerely your acceptance to come to the talk show and share these details about this excellent book. Inshallah, may all the viewers take the step to contact us on via email so that we can then forward all the information to you. I think the question may be in the mind of a lot of the viewers, but will you send the book to your friend who was the original motivation for the writing and the translation of the book?
I did send it to him. I don't know if it has reached him or not, or if he has willingly accepted it or not.
I'm sure he will willingly accept it. Yeah, he will willingly accept it. Inshallah, he will read it. And inshallah, may he have a change of heart. We all really pray from the depths of our heart and soul here in the holy city of Qom that this brother of ours, this Sayyid of ours, may Allah help him and guide him via this book and via the Ahlul Bayt and via the Quran by the sake of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. and Muhammad Ali Muhammad. Sayyid, thank you so much again
for
joining us on the talk show. Dear viewers, thank you as well for joining us on the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are coming up quite soon on the month of Muharram, and inshallah, we will join you for Muharram talk shows. That's all from us here and now. We leave you in the care of Allah. Fi amanillah, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.